Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're here for 25 more minutes, actually 24 and a half more minutes. On AFR, I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing?
Doing good. I got the college football. I know, Fred, you're a hockey guy, but I'm a college football guy, and it's about to get...
It's interesting. I watched all the games over the weekend, Roll Tide and Hotty Toddy. I think there's...
Not everybody is believing like you there with the Roll Tide, but... No, I don't have anything.
It's just the outcome.
I don't have anything against Alabama. I'm just tired of seeing them on TV win. That's
well,
all.
Listen, this does not appear to be the Nick Saban Alabama team. They appear inconsistent. They've been pulling out games. They overcame a 17-point deficit.
I know
at
what they did. I saw it.
Yeah, okay.
I saw it. It was a great comeback by Alabama. My wife, Allison, during football season, we're always watching games. We love watching college football. And if Alabama is like, you know, about to get beat, quote, she always says, you know what's going to happen at the end, right? Yeah, I know what's going to happen at the end. But anyway, Alabama, the greatest tradition in all of college football. There are teams that are right behind them, but nobody has more of a winning tradition than Alabama. But this slate of games we got coming up in a week or so is just going to be dynamite.
Yep.
January 1st, you got Oregon and Texas Tech. You got Alabama and Indiana. That's the winningest, one of the, probably, no, the winningest football program in the history of college football as far as national championships
with
go.
With a newcomer.
Against the losingest.
Yeah.
Indiana's lost more games than any school in America, I think, in college football. So the winningest is playing the losing.
And it's going to be a challenging game.
Oh, yeah. Indiana's favored.
Yeah.
And then you got Ole Miss, you know, going to play in the Sugar Bowl against Georgia. And Ole Miss went to Athens and almost beat Georgia in the regular season. So that's a rematch. And then you got Miami and Ohio State.
Yep.
So I'm going to tell you, most of Americans who don't have a dog in this hunt, so to speak, want to see Texas Tech, Indiana, or Ole Miss win.
Yeah.
Because these other schools are the blue bloods, and they always win
yeah,
every year.
I would agree. That's probably how people are moving.
But, yeah, so I have nothing against these other schools, but I'm pulling for Texas Tech, Indiana, or Ole Miss.
There you go.
Hey. To stand up for the little guy.
There you go. Before we get started, I want to give a shout-out to Bethel Apostolic Church in Amory. Heather and I went to their Christmas program last
year.
Oh, man.
In Amory, Mississippi.
Amory, Mississippi. They knocked it out of the park. Huh. It was such a good program. It's a smaller church, but what they did would have fit in any size church. It was really well done. So
that's awesome.
Congratulations.
What was the name of the church?
Bethel Apostolic Church.
Okay. Wonderful. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Fred, what's the first story we got here you wanted to bring up?
Well, we know just about 10 days ago, that massacre of Jewish people who were celebrating Hanukkah there in Australia at Bondi Beach. And, of course, many stories have come out of that. But the Prime Minister of Australia is under fire. Some people say we should not be surprised to what happened in Australia because there have been incidents of anti-Semitism that the government of Australia has basically turned its eye to. We have here audio from a woman who is a reporter in Australia, and cut number 10. There's two cuts here.
Okay.
I want to make sure we have the right one. And she is a reporter, Erin Molan, and she is really talking about these incidents of anti-Semitism. Let's try to go with cut number 9 here.
I am not Jewish, but I spoke out on October 9 when we saw people celebrate in this country the greatest loss of Jewish life since the Holocaust. We had people outside the Opera House chanting, "Gas the Jews, where are the Jews?" waving terrorist flags, celebrating murder and massacre. Then you look at synagogues firebombed with Jewish people inside, schools graffitied, cars set alight outside Jewish homes. The Harbour Bridge, another iconic Australian landmark known all around the world. We had 100,000 people march across that, waving the flags of the Taliban, chanting death to Jews, holding up signs of terrorists. You know yourself in your own country. When things like this happen, it is a moment for your leaders to stand up and say, "Not on my watch." We didn't have that in this country. It has been incident after incident after incident. Then throw in the way our government has completely capitulated and been praised by terrorist organizations, by Hamas.
Yeah. So that who is that talking there?
Erin Mullen. She is a reporter correspondent there in
Sky News, I believe.
In Australia. Yeah. Just these incidents that she outlined there, that's what's been going on in Australia since the October 7th, 2023 massacre in Israel, when those more than 1,200 people were massacred by Hamas terrorists. This is the kind of thing that's been allowed to occur in Australia, and saying, basically she's saying, we ought not to be surprised what happened on that celebration there 8 days ago of Hanukkah when those Jews were gunned down by these two guys, a father and a son.
And that attack, we're learning that was a very organized attack and could have been a lot worse. I think it was stopped. I don't know, Fred, those six people that were stopped or the number of people who were stopped 4 days later, is that part of that same?
The father and son had bombs.
Yeah.
And which didn't go off, obviously, but just horrible. And they're this Erin Mullen and others are holding the Prime Minister of Australia responsible for what happened. He even apologized. He says, I'm taking responsibility for what happened on that beach in Australia. So hopefully something good will come out of this horrible incident just over 8 days ago in Australia, that they'll do something about this anti-Semitism in that state, which Tim, we talked about this before, makes no rational sense. It is spiritual against the Jewish people there.
Yeah, the Jews in Israel have the Jews in Australia have nothing to do with what's going on in Israel.
No,
they're just Jews.
Yes,
right. I mean, so the Muslim jihadis that kill people. Now they're targeted sometimes, like with this case with the Jews, but they're also indiscriminate. They'll bomb an American, you know, whatever, or somewhere around the world. They just want to kill. They kill people in the name of killing the infidel.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's not another example of this where people are killed by other groups. At the level, anywhere near the level, there isn't a Christian or a Jewish example or a Hindu or, any other religion I can think of that is as violent as Islam is.
Yeah.
On an international scale.
Right. Because there's so many, 20 countries or so that are run, that are Islamic run states. It's that kind of ideology comes from the very top of the leadership of the state. Now, there are, you mentioned Hindus, there are, I think, Hindu radicals that are persecuting Christians and everything, but yes, not to the extent, because I think Fred is exactly right. This is a spiritual war, and Satan does not like God's chosen people.
Next story.
All right. There's a sea change going on in American media right now, and the nexus of this is CBS News. CBS News' editor-in-chief is Barry Weiss, and she's just been there a short while. They had a piece ready to go on 60 Minutes talking about Venezuelan migrants that were deported to El Salvador, and about 2 hours before airtime, Barry Weiss stopped the pulled it from 60 Minutes, said it needed more reporting. Weiss claimed the story needed more reporting. Specifically, she wanted an interview with Stephen Miller or some other high-ranking Trump official because, basically, as we've been seeing for years now, this was going to be a hit piece on Donald Trump, and Barry Weiss wanted some balance in the story, so they pulled it.
60 Minutes is a legendary news show on CBS. It's probably been around 40 or 50 years, something of that nature.
Long time.
Well, good for them. CBS now, CBS 60 Minutes, that news magazine, CBS News, as we've said, they have now a lady in charge who's fair-minded.
Yes.
She's of a liberal persuasion, but she wants to be fair to the conservative side.
Correct.
In order to regain trust of viewers so they don't just end up with just one half of America watching, potentially, but they want everybody to be feel. So kudos to CBS.
I think so. There's a lot of internal strife about this, people complaining, saying that she's
complaining about what?
They're saying that Barry Weiss is censoring them and everything. But I agree with you. I don't think it's as much who she wants. They do want an audience, obviously, but I think she's probably after a balanced, fair, accurate reporting of the news.
She's trying to keep them from losing and having to close down. She's talking about 60 Minutes because they don't have any viewers left. So what she's trying to do is save CBS News.
Yeah.
And she as I say, she herself is a liberal.
She's from New York Times.
But she's one of the few that are honest about it and fair-minded towards conservatives. And that's why she said, listen, before we're going to put this piece on national television, we need to interview somebody high up at the Trump in the Trump White House so they can give their side of what's going on with the El Salvadorian prison situation. Is that what it was?
Yeah, the ones that have been deported there under President Trump. And she was down there interviewing them, and, gee, we should be shocked by this. They say they've been treated unfairly. It's a prison.
Oh, yeah. That's right. And not an American prison either. Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Fred, and Steve, what's your next story? Steve, Paisley Jordahl. Did I call you Paisley Jordahl earlier? I did. Okay, I just want to keep your reputation.
Yeah,
back.
I'm wearing it today, too. Thank you.
Paisley going on. Yeah.
I appreciate that very much. I want to talk about Elon Musk. He's about to be the most powerful person in the world ever, that the world has ever known by far. I got he had a victory with his full self-driving V14 Tesla. It achieved something that nobody thought was possible. It drove intervention-free from Los Angeles to New York, not on highways with perfect lane markings. I'm reading this from a Twitter feed by Mario Nafal. Not on highways with perfect lane markings, but through construction zones, unexpected detour marks, Manhattan traffic. Tesla's fleet of 6 million vehicles has been training this AI with billions of real-world data, but Elon Musk has another vehicle. It's actually a robot, and it is doing amazing things, called Optimus. If you look up Optimus now on YouTube or something, you can see videos of this robot doing things that you would not think possible by a robot. It uses identical neural networks that the driving car does. So while Tesla's have been training the driving part, it's also been training Optimus to do real-world track. Tesla is targeting $20,000 per Optimus unit. The global labor force is 3.5 billion people. If Optimus replaces just 10% of the labor, that's 350 million units. That's a $7 trillion company that he is getting ready to launch. And what this is saying is this is not theoretical anymore. This is industrial planning, because these things are going to be able to do just about everything that a human can do. They can pound nails.
So this is what Elon Musk, he's got a robotic company a company that makes robots, and it's about to make
Optimus
work.
And he's putting these things out as replacement workers.
So just to review Elon Musk's career heretofore, he started with PayPal, right?
He started with something even before that, but yeah.
What now?
There was a company even before that.
That he invented?
Or that he started, yeah.
And he parlayed that into Tesla.
Yeah.
And then the Starlink, right, which is a satellite service.
One of them. The Boring Company.
What is that?
It's a company. He drills tunnels under the cities and puts subways and roads under cities. Very successful.
Okay, and now he's doing...
SpaceX.
SpaceX and robotics.
Yeah.
And, Fred, I would just ask you, Fred, what have you done with your life?
Wow. You know, this is fascinating. And I tell you what, laborers in various industries need to pay attention. Here's what he's advertising. Robot Optimist. I'll sell you Optimist for $20,000, Company A. $20,000. Your workers now work 8 hours a day. Optimist will work 24 hours a day for you. For $20,000, one-time payment, you get this robot.
What's that
going to
do
for you 24 hours a day?
Okay, I'm all for making our lives more efficient, right? And you know, easier on the back, so to speak. The inventions in the 20th century in particular, just, you know, the inventions of the 20th century were superior to inventions any other time in human history. I'm talking about the collective. I'm not talking about just right. one, like the printing press in the 1600s. No. Printing press in the 1500s. Anyway, yeah. My point is that the inventions that have happened since 20th century up to now have been world changers, right? So, but I'm not sure this coming age of robotics is going to be good, because doesn't that put a lot of people out of work? And what are they going to do, and how are they going to make a living if everything's going to be done by robots? Steve?
There are two versions. In my mind, there are two versions of what could happen. One I call the Star Trek version, and this is what Elon Musk subscribes to. You will be able to work at your own choice. You can choose to work to do whatever you want. The money is going to be a little more irrelevant because everything will be free. It's a panacea utopia that I don't know that
where the Democrats going to get their votes from.
I know, you wonder, don't you? But then there's the Terminator version of the future, where these things kind of take over and we're nothing but farm animals. I'm going to pass my phone to you, Tim, and I'll show you. This is an Optimus robot dancing. I just mailed this clip to Brent, and he can post it on our.
Is this real?
This is real.
Okay, and this is a Optimus is the name of the company making these robots, and it's owned by Elon Musk.
Yeah, Tesla actually is making these, but yeah.
Okay, wow. It's like Michael Jackson.
He's doing. The soundtrack is a Michael Jackson song, but that's.
Oh, it is?
Maybe. Yeah, but this is what they can do. I got another video of these things folding shirts. So we keep saying maybe the trades. But I wouldn't put it past these guys to build a house either. So, I don't know. A lot of interesting stuff coming down the line.
It's interesting. I just looked up what kind of work does Optimus do. The robot is being trained to use tools, interact with household appliances, and perform duties in a home setting, such as uploading groceries and watering plants. There you go.
All right, then.
Every house should have one.
Yeah. I mean.
And it doesn't talk back.
At least not yet.
we also need a yes, dear robot.
You can maybe program your Optimus to do that.
Every male in America who's married knows what I'm talking about.
Did the Jetsons have one of those?
Yeah, where it says, yes, dear, you're right, dear.
Exactly.
Glad to do it, honey. Those kinds of things. We need a robot that does all that, huh? That way, your robot can do all that, make your wife happy, and you still get to go golf or fish.
There you go.
How about that? Fred, you for that?
It's just amazing what's going on, but it holds some dangers. It really does.
Oh, yeah. Especially, you know, the robotics, robots, and then also you talk about artificial intelligence. They're not one and the same, but they're related.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know... It's inevitable. It's going to happen, but you could see some bad things happen as a result of artificial intelligence.
And I think when we do our 2026 year end show, like a year from now, we're going to be talking about things we had no idea we were going to be talking about.
Which I also think you're going to see some very good things happen from it. Yeah. You know, I'm no expert by any means, but I'm thinking in relationships to health.
Yeah, cancer treatments.
Cancer treatments.
Absolutely.
Things like that. They're going to change as a result of artificial intelligence.
Absolutely. Yep.
I predict within the next 5 years, you're probably going to have some kind of a scan that you can do that doesn't harm you that can detect cancer. Mm-hmm. Now, that's already available. We all know the
full body scans.
You can write a, because I ask about this. I'm getting diverted a little bit here, but when my wife Allison got Hodgkin's lymphoma 3 years ago, which she's cured now, yep. Praise the Lord God.
Amen. Yes,
and the University of Alabama Birmingham Medical Center,
right?
And so she's cured. That's what they called it. You're graduated because she had the stem cell transplant, which got rid of the Hodgkin's lymphoma. Anyway, it's a blood cancer. But I'm just saying that she had the full body scans like several times. And anybody listening to me right now who's known anybody who has cancer, they have the scans, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but now you do, those scans aren't good for you. Some of them, the scans aren't good for you themselves.
X-rays or
if you want to drive to Nashville or Atlanta from where I live and get a full body cancer screen, you write a check for $3,000 or $3,500, something like that, and they'll do it for you.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about, I think there's going to be something even simpler than that coming up.
And cheaper, probably.
Cheaper than that coming up in the next 5 years, where you're just going to be able to, you know, pay $500 or something like that and go anywhere, any hospital in the country.
Would not doubt it.
That's what I'm guessing is going to happen with AI.
Yep.
Huh?
Well, it is a good time. You know, medical treatments, as you say, are advancing. I think I read some time ago where even they're going to be able to take like a little baby and they can start looking at as their hidden vulnerabilities inside of genes.
Yeah.
And they can pull those out.
Yeah.
That so it's there's a lot
you mean,
of good
so detect maybe infant problems in the womb that they can fix.
That they can fix. Yeah. Yes. Exciting.
Well, we're very scientific and medical. Aren't we, Fred, with our terminology that they can fix?
There we go. Yes.
F-I-X. All right, we're out of time. We got a minute to go. What do you got? You got any good news?
I want to play this. This is Milan Mazurek. We can bow out of this when we need to. But he's a Slovak politician in the European Commission, and he says the EU hates freedom.
You just hate freedom. You hate free and proud people all over Europe. And especially you hate people who love their nations, who love their countries, and who love their children. Because those people are your biggest enemies. Those people want to preserve their countries as they remember them from time they were children. They want to preserve their countries free, independent, safe, clean, and beautiful. They want their countries without hordes of illegal aliens killing and raping women and children in the streets, and they want their countries without daily terrorist attacks. And that's why you want to destroy freedom of speech on social media. You know very well that if those kind of people will have a right to freely...
Who is that?
This is a member of the European Parliament. His name is Milan Mazurek.
Where's he from?
Slovak.
Okay.
He's Slovakian.
And he's saying that European Union is trying to meld everybody into one, and he's also saying that they are censoring
criticism.
He went on to say if they were able to know the truth, they wouldn't bow to the green scam and the gay trans scam.
He sounds like stuff. To me, he's basically giving the message of Donald Trump over there to the European Union. Well, good for him. I liked everything he said. He's proud of his country and wants to preserve its heritage and not be swamped by these immigrants coming in from around the world. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio. Thanks for joining us.